You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. Last year, southwestern Ontario had the worst drought in over a decade, with both Guelph residents and Wellington County farmers being badly hit. Yet, in February this year, Nestle Waters Canada and the Ministry of Environment agreed to waive any drought-related reductions in water use for the company's water bottling plant. The plant takes over 1 million liters of water a day from the region. Emma Louis is water campaigner with the Council of Canadians. She's joined me this morning to talk about the impact this agreement could have on farmers and local residents. Hello, Emma.
Hi, Jane.
Tell us about the drought last year.
Well, as you mentioned, the region, Wellington County, and a lot of southern Ontario experienced quite serious droughts. And this has been an ongoing issue in the last 16 or 15 years. We've had six major droughts in southern Ontario, and in six major droughts since 1998. A drought in 1999 actually saw the lowest groundwater levels in 130 years. The first 6 months of last year were the driest since 1958, and it forced residents. So there's different categories of drought in Ontario, and there was a level two that was called, and that requires residents and businesses to reduce their water use by 20%. And so just maybe to go quickly through the levels of drought, the first one is when there's a potential for water supply problems, and there's usually the request of a reduction of water use by 10% on a voluntary basis. Level two is what I mentioned, when there's a minor water supply problem, but a potential for major water supply problems, and there's usually a request or some sort of notice requesting a 20% reduction. But then there's also a level three, which I'll get into a little bit later, but it is problematic because oftentimes the region does see level three drought conditions, but it's quite difficult to get a level three declared. But I'll get into that a little bit more after.
And where is Nestle taking the water that it's taking, like more than a million liters of water a day? Where is that water coming from?
So it's coming from Wellington County, which is made up of several townships. Guelph, which is one of the larger areas in the county, but it's mostly a rural area. There's a lot of agriculture. Agriculture plays a really big role in the local economy. And Nestle is withdrawing water from one of the towns called Hillsburg, or one of the regions called Hillsburg, and it's taking 1.1 million liters per day from a well there. And maybe just to talk a little bit about the region, there's a lot of significant areas in around the region where Nestle is taking the water. For example, there's a provincially significant wetland in the area. The well is in the headwaters of the Speed, Ramosa, and Credit Rivers. And what's important to note is the water that Nestle is drawing from the area, the people living downstream from that well rely mostly on groundwater for their drinking water. So it's quite an important area.
And Nestle is just taking that water to put it in bottles and to sell.
Yes, exactly. So they've actually been doing that for quite a while. They've been bottling water from that well since 1998. And what's prompted this recent case is their permit was renewed last September. And with that permit, there's a lot of community opposition to Nestle withdrawing water from that well. And because of that opposition, there were some conditions that were placed on Nestle's permit renewal, and that required certain restrictions during times of drought. And Nestle actually filed a notice of appeal because of those conditions, wanting to change the conditions of that permit.
And so what kind of drought restrictions is Nestle facing?
So with the so there are certain conditions that require, like when there is a level one drought, Nestle has to restrict their takings by 10%. And then when there's a level two drought, they have to restrict their takings by 20%. And mandatory. And so Nestle is arguing that they're being targeted unfairly. But You know, but our argument is that the water that Nestle is taking from that well is what we call a consumptive use, so it's being entirely removed from that watershed, and whereas you compare it to other industries, for example, a golf course that has a water permit and uses water within that region, that water goes back into the watershed, whereas Nestle's bottled water leaves that region.
And it seems that the Ministry of Environment is agreed with Nestle? Would that be correct to say?
Well, they've come to a settlement agreement, and so we found that out. So we were granted party status to this case to intervene in February, and party status means it's essentially the highest level of participation with the Environmental Review Tribunal, which is where the case is before. And so the Ministry of the Environment settled with Nestle, and the settlement effectively removes the drought-based restrictions. It would revise the permit in a way that wouldn't place any restrictions on Nestle in a level 3 drought. And what they're doing in that settlement is also proposing this pump test. And this pump test would assess the impacts that Nestle's pumping has on surface and groundwater, and it would use Nestle's existing monitoring stations. And so, you know, assessing this information is important, but a serious failing of the pump test would be that it doesn't actually assess the aquifer itself, and it doesn't look at the impacts of the streams or wetlands or other bodies of water outside of Nestle's monitoring range.
So essentially, no matter how bad the drought got in that region, Nestle could continue to draw the same amount of water to put in bottles and sell across the country?
They could. I mean, it's not like it's to the discretion of the Ministry of Environment, but there's no hard and fast rules, and so that's what we're calling for. There needs to be restrictions when there's times of drought. And we really see this as a failing of the Ministry of Environment that they've settled with Nestle. We're quite concerned that they did. And we're arguing this case on the idea of the public trust doctrine, which is based on the idea that certain resources, for example, water or air, are shared and belong to the people and cannot be or should not be privately owned or controlled. And so with the public trust doctrine, the government has a key role as kind of a trustee or like a protector of these natural resources, and they have an obligation to protect these resources for current and future generations, and we really believe that restricting the amount of water that Nestle is withdrawing from the well in Wellington County is part of this role that they have to protect water sources for current and future generations, and so it's quite an important case, I think, because the public trust doctrine, while the Supreme Court of Canada does recognize that sort of role with governments, the public trust doctrine is more advanced in the U.S., but this case is quite exciting because it could be quite precedent-setting.
So is it a done deal, the agreement between Nestle and the Ministry of Environment, or is it does it have to come before the review tribunal still?
Well, so it's at a critical time. So we have made submissions. So we looked at the settlement. We made submissions. We're working with Wellington Water Watchers on this, which is a local group, and EcoJustice is representing us. And so we made a joint submission at the end of April, commenting on the settlement and raising our concerns, and then Nestle and the Ministry of Environment have also made submissions, and now we're waiting for the tribunal to make their decision, so they can approve it or they can take this to hearing. And so we're asking them to look at the this case. So they have, under this rule called Rule 200, they have this an obligation to decide whether this settlement and the consequent withdrawal of Nestle's appeal would be in the public interest, and whether it's consistent with relevant legislation. And so we're asking them to look at this based on the public trust doctrine, in that there really needs to be a prioritization of water use and prioritizing community use, especially over private use.
And what kind of record does the Ontario Environmental Review Tribunal have in this these kinds of cases? I mean, are they willing to go out on a limb like this and oppose the Ministry of Environment?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, with this kind of thing, the public trust doctrine, it's not something I believe that has been argued before the Environmental Review Tribunal. Although I'm not sure what sort of decisions they normally have made.
And so you mentioned that this public trust doctrine has not been used much in Canada. Is this will this be a precedent-setting case if they do actually accept that? Doctrine?
From my perspective, it would be. And what's important, I think, in this overall is just the prioritization of use in water allocation. So currently, how decisions are made about water right now, there is little guidance for prioritizing water use. And one thing that's important to point out is there is a document, the Ontario Low Water Response Plan, that was created to respond to the increases in drought. And the Ministry of Environment is basically saying that that drought-based restrictions aren't needed because of this plan. So there's various problems with this plan in that of how they define drought. And so drought is defined based on precipitation, stream flow, but groundwater levels aren't considered. And so, the plan also doesn't provide any sort of adequate guidance in prioritizing water use. And so, how decisions are made in the province right now, there's not any strict guidelines to prioritize community use. And so, I definitely think that there would be this would set a precedent in how decisions are made about water allocation.
That sounds like an important case. Thanks so much for talking to me this morning, Emma.
Okay, thanks very much, Jane.
I've been speaking with Emma Louie. She's water campaigner for the Council of Canadians.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@coopradio.org.